feel it's an honor just to get an opportunity to love you by bringing your attention to God's Word. And so for that, I just thank you for inviting me back just to get a chance to love you again, especially this last Sunday of 2018, Sunday right after Christmas. And so if you're like me, this is a really weird moment of the year, right? We just went from a great celebration to turning the page and looking with Christmas behind us into 2019, wondering what is coming our way, right? We spent a long time waiting and hoping for Christmas, but now we're in these few days where we just sit in almost just this little saddle wondering what's going to come. And so with that, I want to ask you a question. It's a question that, as I've even thought this morning, is one that I need to think even more about. It's a question that hopefully will not just be one for you to think about today, but we'll think about for the rest of the year. And it's the question of thus, what do you do when Christmas seems to fade? What do you do when Christmas seems to fade? Especially today, with Christmas was Tuesday, and if you're like me, in our house, Christmas, even though that it was just a few, almost hours ago, seems to have kind of faded in the background with just really the chaos and the reality of the morning. What do you do when Christmas fades? When the presents are put away, when family returns home, when decorations are no longer around, what happens with Christmas? The hope and the joy that we celebrated, the Christ coming, even what we just sang about, joy to the world, often seems to quickly fade away, being replaced by almost a bit of a fear and anxiety, not of hope, but a fear and anxiety of the coming of a new year. Because if you look at your calendars, like I think we have even today, we've talked about when does school start back? And what, you don't want to hear it, do you? So when does school start back? Or looking at a calendar and wondering, oh, okay, I've got to turn that big project in. Or looking at the bills that might be coming due early in 2019. Or looking and realizing that there's some big life decisions that I'm going to have to make really, really quickly that could shape the rest of my life for a long time. Christmas fades really quickly. And so what do you do? What do you do with that fading of Christmas? Well, I think one thing we do that I think is not helpful is that when Christmas fades, we begin to fear, and we begin to tremble, and we begin to run toward things that we think maybe will give us that hope and that joy that Christmas was going to offer us. We begin to look around and to say, what is it that I could have that would actually return the joy and the hope that Christmas was going to offer me? But what I want to share with you this morning is something a little bit different. I want to share with you Psalm 46, which I think is not a Christmas psalm, but it's a great psalm for Christmas and New Year's. Because it's a psalm that helps us to see that Christmas does not fade away. But Christmas is something that actually should last every day, all through the year, and all through life. Because there's a hope that we see at Christmas that should never fade away. There's a hope at Christmas that Jesus has come to be with us and will be with us all through life no matter what happens. And Psalm 46 brings that out in a really beautiful way. Because Psalm 46 tells us that the hope of Christmas will never, ever fade. And we read it, but I want to read it again. Because I want you to hear again Psalm 46 and how Psalm 46 tells us that we can have a hope that will never fade. A Christmas hope that will never fade no matter what the next year will bring. Listen to it again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved and thrown into the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. when the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation to the earth, how he makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is a beautiful psalm, and it's a beautiful psalm that really gives us hope that no matter what happens through life, God is with us. And there's three things that I want you to just to see about what God is telling us this morning in this psalm as it relates to Christmas and the new year, a hope of Christmas and the anxiety of a coming new year. The three things are this: God says, I'm with you, and I'm going to protect you, and I care for you. God says, I'm with you, I'm going to protect you and care for you, even if the earth melts. And the last thing he says, I'm going to win. I'm going to win the battle for your hearts. I'm going to win the battle for the nations. I'm going to win the battle for the earth. The first thing in this psalm, Psalm 46, that I want you to hear is that God says, I love and care for you. I'm going to protect you. In verse 1, in verse 7, in verse 11, there's these words of strength and power and fortress that God says, I am your refuge. You know, when this psalm was written, I imagine the folks, when they heard that word refuge or fortress, they probably would have pictured in their mind or probably even turned around from the field, maybe where they were working, and they saw a huge fortress, a huge castle with huge walls that were impressive. When they looked at it, they said, that is my protection. Just say they were working in the fields and they remembered Psalm 46 and they heard that God is their fortress, the one who protects them, he's their refuge. And they looked out on the horizon and they saw an enemy coming. They would not fear because they would turn around and they'd walk into the walls. They'd walk into this fortress for protection. Psalm 46 brings that imagery to mind for us that God is our refuge. He is strong walls. He is a place for us to run when trouble comes. God says, do not fear. I am a fortress. I am a strong fortress for you. No matter what happens, do not fear, for you are able to run to me. I love this about Psalm 46. I love its repetition as well. It doesn't just say at once, hey, I am a strong fortress, but I think the psalmist knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows we forget. He knows we fear. And he says, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Three times he says, I am a strong tower. I am a strong tower. I am a strong. Reminding us that there is a strong tower. Just as someone who's working in the field outside the gate could always look around and see the walls and say, there is no reason for me to fear. And for you and I who know Christ this morning, I want you to remember that God is our refuge. For those of us who have been called sons and daughters of the King of Kings, by the work of Christ redeeming us out of our sin and giving us a new name as a son and daughter of God, there is always that refuge for us. No matter what happens, no matter where we are, if we're like pastor going to Indonesia or in California or here or wherever it is, those of us who are in Christ, God is our refuge always and forever. Don't forget that. For those of you who wonder, am I actually in Christ? God is your refuge. He is a strong tower who says to you, come to me. Come to me. When you come to me, there will always be refuge for me. Through the work of Christ, Christ offers to you not only life, but he offers you refuge. And he says, come. So the first thing the psalm tells us is that God is our strong tower. He's the place that we're able to run for help, to be secure, to be safe. The second thing it says, though, is that God will be our safe place, our refuge, no matter what happens. And the imagery here is striking. It says, even if the earth melts, even if The mountains are thrown into the sea. I am your refuge. Now, with a show of hands, how many people have seen a mountain uprooted and thrown into the ocean? Yeah, I didn't think so. Just think, one person. That would be Instagram worthy, I would dare say. But just think about that imagery. To see a huge geographic feature as a mountain uprooted and thrown into the ocean. It's catastrophic. I love mountains. I love their majestic beauty. I love how even though the seasons change, mountains seem to just stay there in their beauty and hugeness. But to think about a mountain being uprooted in its massiveness and hurled into the ocean would cause me to tremble. And the psalmist says to you and I, God is your refuge even if that sort of catastrophe happens. Even if something that great happens in our world and in your life, in the ordinary of your days, do not fear, for I am your refuge. How comforting is that? How comforting is that to know that even if something that catastrophic happens, there's no reason for us to fear because God is our refuge. I thought about some of my friends who are in China now who actually are a part of a church that has been persecuted by the government. Many of them are in prison right now. And I've heard reports of them that is just unbelievable. As these folks have had been ripped from their homes, been placed in prisons, but the reports coming back are these folks are in prison with great joy, sharing the gospel with their fellow inmates. I dare say they understand this. Their world has melted away, but they are not fearing because they know that God is their refuge, even in a place like a prison in China. The third thing is this psalm tells us is that God will win. He's not doesn't just care for us and he isn't just our refuge, he will win. Verse 10 is probably the most well-known verse in the psalm where it says, "Be still and know that I am God." But I think this is a little bit different than someone saying, "I want you just to be still in the presence of God by a small still brook in a very peaceful setting and just contemplate on just the beauty of God." There's a place for that. But I think this is more of a combative tone, more of a surrender tone when it says, be still. Well, look at verse 8 and verse 9. The psalmist says, come see the works of the Lord. What are the works of the Lord? Well, how he has brought desolation to the earth, how he makes war cease. In other words, how he has won the battle. See how he has broken the bow and the spear and burned the chariot. And then the words in quotations says, be still and know that I am God. This is a call of a conqueror. This is the call of God saying, look what I've done. Look who I am. Put down your sword. Be still. Surrender. Quit fighting. Know that I am God. Look at my works, how I have brought peace to the earth by my power, by my righteousness, by my justice. Joy to the world, we just sang. The Savior reigns. God says, be still, surrender, put down your arms. God has come to make his city glad, not by just bringing joy, but by bringing power and might, destroying the bow, the chariot, bringing peace to the world. Christ has come as a little baby, as a conqueror, and the call of the conqueror is, be still. Be silent. Surrender. It's this call of Psalm 46. It says, come see the works of the Lord. Yeah, take refuge, but surrender. Lay down your arms. The victor is here. Don't be still just beside a quiet garden, but drop your sword and see that God is the conqueror of your heart, of the nations, and of the world. Surrender and rest in his complete victory, content that the one who is the victor is also your refuge. The one who has won is the one you look at and say, that is my refuge. And so how does Psalm 46 help us to see Christmas as unfading? It reminds us to see that when Jesus came, he just didn't come as a little baby and that's it. Jesus came as the conqueror, as the one who is our refuge, who calls us to rest in him, but also is the one who is known as the Prince of Peace, the mighty, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful counselor, the one who has brought peace and justice to our world like we've never seen, as he intended it. And the call of Christmas, the call of Psalm 46, is for you and I to surrender, to drop our sword, and to see that this is the place where we receive righteousness, justice, mercy. This is the place where you and I see peace offered to us in a way that we could never imagine because of what Christ has come. Psalm 46 helps us to see Christmas linger because it helps us to see what it looks like to be still in front of the God who has won the victory in our hearts, the victory in our nations, and the victory in our world. So we make Christmas linger, linger longer in 2019 by surrendering. But I don't know if you feel it, but I do. I feel a tension here. Because when I see Christmas and I say, yes, joy has come, Christ has come, but when I see 2019, the top resolution that I have is not surrender. The top resolution I have for 2019 is to get moving. Because if I want the things that I want in 2019 and the next year, with the fears and anxiety that seem to be on the horizon, I need to get going. I need to get my capacities moving, and I need to get my assets in gear, and I need to start working so that Psalm 46 will be plan B, taking refuge in God. Plan A in 2019 often for me, and maybe for you, feels as though I'm going to take refuge in what I can do to get moving, to create my resolutions, to get things in order. And plan B will be Psalm 46. Looking back and knowing, okay, there is a strong tower. If things fall apart, I have somewhere to go. That's the tension I feel. That's the fading of Christmas. Because Christmas, we see the hope of Christ coming to set all things right now and to come as he returns. But the hope of 2019 is our resolution saying, I'm going to make sure I get everything in gear. And if it falls apart, then I'll go back to Psalm 46. But Psalm 46 actually goes a little bit deeper. God isn't just our refuge for us to run to. God is with us. I don't know if you caught that language in the psalm, but all the ways through it says, do not fear, I am your refuge. Yes, but I am with you. The city is made glad. Why? Because God dwells in that city. Verse 7 and verse 11, I am with you. And if you know anything about the Bible, you know that that language, I am with you, is important. God told Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of a great nation. Wherever you go, I will be with you. In the Exodus, he told his people, get moving, I will be with you. Isaiah, it says, I am with you. Here in Psalm 46, it says, I am with you. Take refuge in me, yes, but I'm not a refuge over there. I am with you. I am a refuge with you. Here's the language. The Hebrew is this, Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, Emmanuel. I don't know if that rings a bell, but in Matthew 2, an angel comes to Mary and Joseph and says, you will bear a son, and his name will be Emmanuel. God with you. For generations, this idea that God would be with his people was one that brought great hope, excitement, refuge. Psalm 46 tells us, do not fear, God is your refuge with you. He's not a refuge to run to, but he is a refuge that has come to you, to be with you, to conquer your hearts, to conquer the nations, to conquer the world. The one who is from the beginning, God, Jesus, who is at the beginning, has come not only as a baby, going to the cross, resurrecting, but is with you. The Great Commission, the end of the Great Commission, Jesus says, "Do not fear, I will be with you always." That's how Christmas is unfading, is knowing that Jesus didn't just come and we celebrate Christmas and then we move on to 2019, but Jesus came to be with you now and forever. It's the beauty of Psalm 46. It's a reminder that even if the mountains are thrown in the sea, God is your refuge with you. Not someone to run to when things go bad, but he is with you in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the things not going your way. He has come to dwell with you. So do not fear. The one who has great honor, the greatest honor, who is God himself, came to be with you, to carry away your shame and replace it with the honor that he has. Do not fear, the psalm says. The gap between what you know is reality now and what possibly could be, Jesus knows it and he's with you. Do not be anxious. He dwells with you. He brings you hope and comfort in this life and in death. You don't have to run to a safe place. That safe place is with you. He is with you. Do not fear. The one who has great power has come to us, who are weak and who are trying to find power in all of our accomplishments and all of the things that we hope to accomplish in 2019. Don't fear. God's already won. Do not fear if the earth gives way, because Christ has come to dwell with you and I. Do not fear what 2019 might look like, because Christ now dwells with you and I. But still, that call to surrender in our hearts is hard. I admit it. Because it means that we are going to have to rest fully and unconditionally on Christ. And to know that he didn't just come just to bring us presents at Christmas, but he actually came to bring joy and gladness to our hearts. The city is glad. Why? Because Christ dwells there. And Christ dwells there how? Because of what he has done for you and I on the work of his cross, on the cross, by swapping your sin with his righteousness, with your guilt, with what he offers you and I. Honor that will never, ever, ever be taken away. So how do you and I make Christmas linger? Well, when we hear of wars and we hear of rumors of wars, in our families, in our hearts, in our schools, when we become anxious about what could happen, we make Christmas linger by knowing that Christ has come to dwell with you and I. He has come to dwell with you always and forever. And as he has come to dwell always and forever, he is not your refuge out there for you to run to. He's not plan B, but he's plan A for you and I to run to and to be still in front of. Be still in front of God and to know that he is God. Not only know how he has decimated the earth, brought peace to the earth, but to be still in front of God knowing that he has brought peace to your heart. And that 2019 could be a year where you celebrate Christmas every day, because the joy to the world that Christ has brought is the joy and the gladness that he's brought to your heart. So be still and rest, surrender, drop down your bow, and know that he has brought peace to your heart. And there is nothing, as Paul says in Romans 8, neither kingdom or power or government or anything in this world that could separate you from the refuge that dwells with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are our refuge. I admit that at times I don't think I really grasp how significant that is. But Lord, in 2019, may we celebrate Christmas every day. May it linger. May it become unfading in our hearts. As we look out and we see that you are the one who has conquered our hearts. As far as the curse is found, you will conquer. And Father, as you conquer, may you make our hearts glad. May you make this church glad. May you make our city glad, because you dwell with us as our refuge. Amen.